Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, The Greatest Faith. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can download a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Now here's the great revelation. So many times people are wanting more of something. And the Lord will, again and again, He'll tell you, use what you got. Do you remember when they had those thousands of people out on the hillside? And the disciples told the Lord, they're hungry. Send them away so they can buy some groceries. What did He say? What do you have? Right? You remember the woman who they're about to come, creditors come and take her children away, and she sent word to the prophet, I need help, I need a miracle. What did He say? What do you have? I don't have anything except this little pot. That's how the Lord works, though. Well, we don't have anything except these two small fish and these few little pieces of bread. Then Jesus smiled and go, that's it, we got it. All we need is a seed. See, we're thinking we need the whole thing. No, you don't. You need a seed. You need a seed, give God something He can bless. Give Him something to work with. But if He multiplies zero times a million, what do you got? Big old zero. You got to give Him something to bless, something to multiply. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would in that case say to this sycamine tree, what got the miracle for the centurion's servant? Jesus said, something. Is that right? Be it unto you as you've believed. If you would say, be pulled up by the roots, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. People act like that's a fantastical statement. It's how the tree got here to start with. It's how the ocean got here. It's how the mountain got here to start with. God spoke. It's how light came into being. Right? Shouldn't be a shocking thing to us that what was created by words could be affected by words. Keep going. Now, who of you having a slave? That's servant in the King James. He starts talking about a servant answering their question about increasing faith. What does a servant have to do with faith? Can you see that one of the two great faith examples was over a servant being healed? And one of the great revelations that we see that the man had was when he tells his servant to do something, he does it. So when they say increase our faith, he talks to them about speaking and about a servant. Can you see this, friends? Speaking. And he says, now, who of you having a slave? And see, our generation, we don't like that word. Somebody says, well, no, slavery is wrong. Forced servanthood is wrong. There's another kind. I said, there's another kind. Stealing somebody, turning them into your property, forcing them to be a slave to you is wrong. That's the enemy. He's the coercer. He's the thief. He's the forcer. God's looking for people who want to be His servants. Hallelujah. He's not going to make you be. Now, eventually, all the people who don't want to be, He's going to remove them from us and put them somewhere else where we never see them. You don't want to be in that bunch.
No, sir.
But you don't want to living with you either. No, you don't. Somebody that rebelled against God their whole life and are never going to change, you want them living by you?
No, sir.
For eternity?
No, sir.
No, you don't. Only God knows when somebody's never going to change. And you might think, well, there'll always be a chance that they'll change. No, God knows. The devil, for instance, is never going to change. And God knows that. And when he's put in a pit for 1,000 years, You know the first thing he does when he gets out? He goes right back to leading a rebellion against God. Instantly, what does this prove? You could lock him up there for 100,000 years. What's he going to do when he gets out? He's never going to change. So the only solution is remove him from us. Somewhere that we'll never have to deal with him anymore. And sadly, many human beings are going to follow him. And they don't want to submit to anybody. They don't want anybody telling them what to do. They're not going to bow their knee. They have submitted to his. I'm convinced the biggest problem we got on the planet is mass rebellion against God. People refuse to listen and do what he says. He'll allow it for a while. Then he's got to separate. But here, which of you having a slave servant in the King James, plowing or tending a flock of sheep, who having come out of the field will say to him, having arrived, go at once and have your meal. This is a person's servant. They've been out in the field working all day, and they come in, and he says, you don't tell your servant, will you eat and then take care of me? See, even talking about this, people say, well, I don't like that. I know. The devil can't stand it. Defiance, rebellion. Nobody tells me what to do. If you yield to that, you're yielding to the nature of the devil himself. Certainly, it's wrong to force somebody to be your slave. But there's another kind of servant. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Where you willingly submit yourself to be at his service. Yes. Oh, come on, can you say amen? I want you to listen. I noticed this last night. The introduction of numerous of our letters start like this. 2 Peter says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He doesn't lead with apostle. He leads with servant.
Oh, wow.
James, you know how he starts his out? James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says the same thing multiple places. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think a lot of people, they take the apostle and take it off the right side of the name and put it on the left side.
Right.
Use it as a title. Don't even use the servant designation.
Right.
Yeah. Do you understand? They didn't use apostle, prophet as titles.
No.
They said, I am one. But they didn't call themselves the apostle this. I know some folks don't like that, but study the scripture. See what it says. Jesus specifically told us, don't call people your spiritual father. How many people are breaking that one? Don't call people your spiritual master. Did he say it? It's in the Bible, friends. Don't do it. Here's something you and I should delight to say. I'm Keith, a servant.
That's right.
A servant of God. And I can say, and a pastor or whatever, but I'm a servant of God.
Yes.
Does that make you somebody?
No.
Considering who he is?
Yes.
If you're anything to him, you're somebody in the universe forever. If you're nothing to him, you're nothing.
That's right.
In the future. Does anybody like that designation?
Yes.
I'm Joe, Tom, Sally, Susie, a servant. Somebody say, a servant of God. Will you say that out on your mouth? Say, a servant of God.
A servant of God.
See, nobody's making me be a servant of God. I choose to yield myself and submit myself to. Yes, he's made me his son. That's true too. But a son can also serve.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
A son, a daughter can serve and should.
Yes.
For his pleasure, we are created.
Yes.
Hallelujah. At his service. should be our daily thought. Lord, I am yours to command. Everything I have, everything under my hand, under my control, is available to you. Somebody say, well, it's all his. Not if he gave it to you. If it's all his, you've got nothing to give him. No. He said the tithe was his. But the rest of it that he gave to you, it's yours to do with what you will. But you should make it available to him. Is that right? Because unless he helps you keep it, you're going to lose it anyway. And right? I mean, there's a whole bunch of things there. But you should make it available to him. Good, strong body. Best use of your health is serving God. Best use of your youth, right?
Yes.
Is serving God. Yes. Best use of your talents, your abilities, your skills, your graces is serving God. Yes. Best use of your equipment is serving God. Somebody say, I am.
A servant of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he describes the servant mentality, which if you're going to have the greatest faith, you must have, like the centurion and like the Syrophoenician woman. You must have the humility and the submission. What is the servant mentality? Not somebody who was forced into slavery. Somebody who volunteered. Somebody said, who would volunteer to be a slave? We're talking about God. Come on, y'all with me? I'm not talking about being your slave. I'm talking about being God's slave. Right? Now that includes me doing some things for you, whatever he tells me. But his slave is the greatest thing you could ever be. Right? The creator of the universe. I'm his servant. He also, in his grace, made me his child. His son. Hallelujah. Whew. Read the mentality of the servant. He said, which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending a flock of sheep, come in out of the field, you'll say to him, since you've come here, go have your meal. He said, you won't say that. That's not what a slave does. You'll say, prepare at once something in order that I may have my dinner and attire yourself for serving me. Wait on me till I eat and drink. And after these things, you eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things that were commanded. Does he? What are we talking about? Servant mentality. What else are we talking about? The greatest faith there is. Got to have one to have the other. This is revelation. Isn't it? This is revelation.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like to listen to today's teaching in its entirety from the series, The Greatest Faith, you may visit our website at morelife.org. Click on the Word Supply button, then select Series for an alphabetical listing. You will also find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.